Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
I want to say this to you. If you are a parent today and you have a child that has gone astray, that has wandered off, maybe so far from the place that they should be, maybe their lives are dominated by sin. Maybe that stain of sin is so deep. Maybe they're in prison. Maybe they're living on the streets because they're addicted to drugs. Know this, the Spirit is saying to them, come. Keep praying for them.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Revelation. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, in a message titled, Come, God's Invitations. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
You see, again, for some people, their sins are obvious. Paul even said this to Timothy. He said, you know, some men's sins, they are evident to everybody. They precede them to judgment. Everybody knows, yeah, that person's a sinner. He said, but the sins of some, they follow after, meaning that there are certain people who don't outwardly appear to be all that sinful. But the reality is we are all sinners. And that will be shown ultimately in the final day, in the judgment day. But for those who are not so obviously outwardly sinful, the reality is sin is still there and we labor under the burden of sin. And it's when we come to recognize that that's what is really going on and we cry out to the Lord, that's when he brings us what we are considering here. He brings us relief. He brings us rest. He brings us peace. You see, this is where some people are at. You talk about those life-dominating sins. You talk about people in prison. You talk about people in prostitution. You talk about people in drug addiction. You talk about all that. And they're like, hey, man, you know, I'm not that. But there's something that's not right. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just, you know, varying degrees. It's sin. And it's the same solution. The solution is coming to Jesus. Coming to him, and as he said, he will take that heavy burden. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He will take that burden of sin that we bear. You know, sin is a heavy burden, and trying to come out from under it apart from the grace of God, it can't happen. It ends up being a crushing thing. I was talking to a young man the other night. I was at a wedding, and I met him there at this wedding. And as we were having a brief kind of introductory conversation, it came up that he was his background was as a Jehovah's Witness. And for 20 years, he had been involved as a Jehovah's Witness. And he was telling me that, you know, is kind of his family. Everybody's involved with that. And he said, but, you know, I'm reconsidering that. I'm kind of, you know, looking at some other spiritual options. And he found out in the midst of the conversation that I was a pastor and a Christian. So we started talking. And I said, you know, look, here's the thing. Whether you're a Jehovah's Witness or you're a Muslim or you're Jewish or you're Catholic or you're, you know, Hindu or Buddhist or, you know, whatever it is, religion, under whatever label, even if it goes under the label of Christian, religion is always going to be burdensome and it's never going to do anything but ultimately crush you. Because with religion, you're always trying to work your way to God and you're always realizing that you're not making it. So religion itself does not lend itself to joy and to rest and relief and peace. Religion lends itself to a weight, a burden. And I was trying to give him the picture of the distinction between what religion does for you and what the gospel does for you. Where religion places a burden on you, the gospel takes the burden from you. That's what Jesus did. And trying to, you know, present it in a way where the gospel just brings us freedom. It brings us lightness. It brings this wonderful release and rest and joy because you're resting in something Jesus did. And so I started sharing with him verses on how a person is saved, talking about grace and showing the distinction. This is religion and whatever label you want to stick on it. This is what religion says. You work and that's how you're going to hopefully obtain favor with God. But the Bible says, no, it's by grace that we're saved. And so I was reading I didn't have my Bible in my hand. I was quoting to him a few passages. And you know, at one point he says, hold on. I got to write this down. This is good. I need to think more about this. So he had a phone. I said, hey, here's my number. Send me a text. I'll send you a text back and I'll share these verses with you. And, you know, we were at a wedding and it was a busy weekend and all. So I, you know, I'll get these to you. So last night before I went to bed, I just sat down and I sent him a text with a couple of passages on God's grace. And just about midnight, I heard my phone go off, you know, that I had a text message coming through and I picked it up and looked at it. And he said, thank you for these verses. I'm reading them right now. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord, that this is the, you know, that hopefully that entrance into that deliverance from the weight, the burden of trying to save oneself. I watched an interview last night from Muhammad Ali's funeral, and his wife was speaking, and she said how, you know, Muhammad really wanted to go to heaven. And she said this amazingly. She said, you know, he told me one day that he's got to work and work and work. He's got to work harder because you got to work your way to heaven. And I heard that and I thought, oh, how sad. Because the truth of the matter is you can't work your way to heaven. There's nothing you can do. You can't be good enough. The standard is beyond us. But the wonderful news is you don't have to work your way to heaven. Jesus, he has already done. He did the work. That's the gospel. Jesus did the work. We get the benefit. That's the message of the gospel. You know, as I was driving in to church this morning, I was listening to Dr. McGee on the radio. And you know, if you've listened to Dr. McGee, you know that oftentimes I'll read letters from listeners in different parts of the world. Well, it just so happens that they have, evidently they have a team from Through the Bible. They have a team in the Middle East this week doing something. So all of the letters that they read were from listeners in the Middle East. And there was the first letter that they read was from a man named Mohammed who asked not to be identified with his country. But this is what the letter said. He said, please tell me about how the crucifixion of Jesus can take away my sins and give me a place in heaven, because the Quran says that I can only get to heaven if I am a good person and I have to work for it. The request of this writer was, please tell me how the crucifixion of Jesus gives me a place in heaven. That's the reality. It's Jesus who gives us the place in heaven, again, because he did the work. He did the work for us. And so here he is, the one who is going to, at this point in the Gospels, of course, Jesus had not yet gone to the cross, but that's the whole reason why he's here on earth, to go to the cross. So he can say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He was going to secure that rest for us. He did do that through the cross. And so when we take him up on this invitation to come to him, we receive the rest, the relief, we receive the peace that is otherwise unattainable.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now let's continue with today's message.
then that brings us to God's final invitation here. And as we read here, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. And this is the third category that I want to look at. There's the, as we said, there's the sin that's deep and it's permeated into the very fabric of a person's soul. The sin is scarlet and crimson. And then there's the sin that weighs down the burdens. But now here's the third category. And I think everybody's somewhere in one of these categories. And in some cases, we might be in all three places. But the third description here of the condition that the invitation is meant to remedy is that of thirst, if anyone thirsts. And I think that this is so prevalent in our culture today. You know, we live in a relatively affluent culture. We live in a very materialistic culture. And the idea that most people have is that through the obtaining of things, material things, or by gaining, you know, some sort of position in society, or by, you know, really just discovering myself and living for who I really am, that it's through this that I'm finally going to have this thirst quenched. Now, oftentimes people aren't using that terminology, but some people even would use that terminology. You know, I'm looking for something to quench my thirst. Well, that's just the experience of all of us, really, when you think about it. So the invitation here is to the thirsty, is to those who find that nothing in the world satisfies, nothing fulfills. There is in them a deep sense of emptiness and futility. And this is true, like I said, of multitudes of people. And everybody's always thinking that, well, you know, it's the next thing. That's what's going to do it for me. I remember myself before I came to Christ. That was where I was at. I was always looking to the future because, you know, from where I was restless. I was thirsty. It didn't matter what I was doing. So I would think, okay, well, you know, I'm going to move on to this next thing. And when I get to that spot, that's where the thirst will be quenched. But you know what? I'd get to that spot and I'd find that, well, I'm just as thirsty here as I was back there. It's a never-ending thing. Because the truth of the matter is this, that in every single human heart, and when I say heart, I don't mean the physical organ, I mean the core of every single human being, there is a God-shaped void, and there's nothing that can be put in that place except God that will bring fulfillment. It's just as Augustine said, we were made by God and for God, and we are restless until we come to know him. That is the situation. But notice the invitation. This is the invitation. The Lord is saying, come. Come. Whoever is thirsty, come. Let him drink of the water of life freely. Now, again, we talked about this previously a little bit, but just that picture of water. Now, can you see the picture behind me of water? Isn't that a beautiful picture? I took that picture with my iPhone. And that picture is from the head waters of the Jordan River in the northern area of Israel, up at a place called Tel Dan. And there in Tel Dan, it's the place, like I said, it's the place where the Jordan River begins, and you've got all of these beautiful places along where, you know, the spring comes up, and then you've got these waterfalls and things, and we had hiked back there. It's quite a hike, but when you get there and you see that water, and it's so refreshing, many believe that when David wrote the words, as the deer pants for the water, so pants my soul for thee, O God, that it was at that place that David got the idea for that Saul. Because when we think of that water that springs up, when we think of that fountain, when we think of that flowing river, this is the imagery that God uses over and over again, because we all know what it's like to be refreshed by water. We all know what it's like to have our thirst satiated by water. We all know what it's like physically. But of course, God is using this figuratively. But it's the same thing. Just as water refreshes us when we're parched, when it's hot, just as it would refresh us as it goes down as we drink it, or it might refresh us as we sit there under that water that's flowing over us. So this is the picture that God gives of our souls. This is what happens. And remember, it's like Jesus said to the woman at the well there in John chapter 4. The woman who was coming to the well to draw water, and Jesus says to her, if you drink this water, or the first thing he says to her, he says, woman, give me a drink. And she's puzzled because she's a Samaritan, he's a Jew. There's a racial kind of an issue between the Samaritans and the Jews. She wonders, why is this Jewish man asking me for water? This is awkward. This is unusual. Jesus says, if you knew who I was, and if you knew the gift of God, you would ask me and I would give you living water. She said, okay, give me that living water. And then Jesus said to her, he was there at the well in a place called Sychar. And it was Jacob. Jacob had originally dug the well. And the woman says, well, how are you going to get the water? It's deep and you don't have anything to draw with. And Jesus says to her, he says, if you drink this water, you will thirst again. But if you drink the water that I give, you will never thirst, because that water will become like a spring welling up from within you and flowing out from you. And that's the picture of what we're talking about here. The Lord is inviting all people to come and drink the water of life freely. And you see, that's what salvation is. It is the thing that satisfies the human soul. It is the thing that brings peace. It is the thing that washes and cleanses us so thoroughly from the stain of sin that it's like we never even had those stains upon us. And that invitation, like I said in the beginning, it goes all the way out right to the end. That's where we're at. We're right at the end of the Bible. And God is still extending the invitation. And notice what it says. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Holy Spirit, you know what the Holy Spirit is doing in the world today? The Holy Spirit is saying, come to people. He's convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And in doing that, he's seeking to draw people to Jesus. That's the work of the Spirit. He's saying to people, come. I want to say this to you. If you are a parent today, and you have a child that has gone astray, that has wandered off, maybe so far from the place that they should be, maybe their lives are dominated by sin. Maybe that stain of sin is so deep. Maybe they're in prison. Maybe they're living on the streets because they're addicted to drugs. Know this, the Spirit is saying to them, come. Keep praying for them. Because even though you might not see it, even though you might not have any sense that there's anything happening, the Spirit says, come. And that's what the Spirit does. And I have heard testimony after testimony about how in the midst of that deep, dark, sinful place, many would testify and say, the Spirit was saying, come. I came back to the Lord because this is what the Spirit was doing in my life. And of course, then we realize that yes, and loved ones had not stopped praying for them. Keep praying. The Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. The bride says, come. You know, it is our privilege. We're the bride. It is our privilege to invite people to come to Jesus. You know, sometimes we get all hung up about what we call evangelism, sharing our faith. Sometimes we get all intimidated. And sometimes we get all stressed out about that. But you know, listen, let's just simplify it. What are we doing? We're just inviting people to come. You know, I don't have to convince somebody that the Bible is true. I don't have to convince somebody that the gospel is reality. It's not my responsibility to make people understand this to the point that they can really believe it. You know, all I need to do is just invite people, you know, come. Come and see. Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus is very much alive and well. And you come and see, and guess what? You'll meet him. He'll let you know what the facts are. I like in the Gospel of John when it's in the early part of the Gospel of John, you have the series of events where Andrew, he goes and gets his brother, Simon Peter. He says, come. And they go, others, and they get the Philip and Nathaniel, and they're, you know, come and see, come and see. We found the Messiah. Well, just come and see. You know, they didn't say, we found the Messiah, and here's 10 reasons why we know this is the Messiah. They just said, we found the Messiah. Oh, come on, how could you have found the Messiah? Are you sure? Well, come and see. Come and check it out. And so for us as well, like I said, sometimes we just get way too hung up. And we find that, you know what? The Spirit's already at work. So what are we doing? Inviting people, come and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You want to know about Jesus? You want to know if he's real? Well, ask him if he's real. I don't have to convince you that he's real. You really want to know he's real? Guess what? If you ask him, he'll tell you. He'll make himself known to you. The Spirit and the bride say, come. So this is our privilege that it's not a burden, it's a privilege that we get to do this. And let him who hears say, come. And who does the invitation go out to? Whoever desires. Whoever desires. That's the same all the way through. Whosoever will, whosoever believes, God has this offer of the water of life, and it's free to everyone. The only thing one must do is want it, desire it. And like Jesus said, there's not a single person. He said, whoever comes to me, I will never, ever turn them away. There's no one that's gone too far. There's no pit that's too deep. There's no burden that's too heavy. There's no thirst that's unquenchable. Because Christ is able to deal with all those things. And that invitation goes out today. It's gone out all throughout history, and it's going to go out right to the very end. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's not forget that. God wants to save people. Jesus died so people could be saved. Who did he die for? He died for everybody. So everybody is a candidate for salvation. So we as the bride, let's say come. And let's have confidence that the Spirit is saying come. And of course, let's, for ourselves who have already come, just stay refreshed there in that fountain of living water, the water of life. Just keep drinking from that fountain and let that fountain well up within and pour out from our lives.
We're pleased to have Pastor Brian and Cheryl Brodesen back in the studios with us once again to discuss this month's resource.
I don't think there's any greater way to grow in faith than when you grow in your knowledge of the Lord. And when you grow in faith, peace, joy, love, assurance, all are yours.
Yep. One of the best chapters ever on the love of God, and just talking about God's love in such an amazing way and in such a down-to-earth way, as he really presents God as a friendly God, which oftentimes people don't think of God as being friendly. So I have read through the book a number of times. I've actually used it as a textbook to teach in a classroom a few times as well. So I highly recommend The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer, an excellent book if you want to get to know about God. And of course, getting to know about him, you will inevitably get to know him.
So, The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson, for stopping by the studios and sharing your experience with this month's resource, The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. And we'd like to send it to you for a donation of any size to Back to Basics. The details for obtaining this month's book and all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Revelation. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.